Good people of God, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this is crazy, but it's been since Easter since I've been in this pulpit with you, so I can't really remember how to do it, but we always start with a book report, right? All right. The bulk of the first three chapters of Romans are spent describing the inescapable human condition. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us can redeem ourselves. It's kind of a bummer, I guess. But all it means, what it tells us, is we need God. And in response to that great sense of need, Paul goes on to proclaim the good news. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short, but all are justified freely, freely by the grace of God. And then starting with our reading this morning in chapter 5, Paul moves on, the author of Romans, into the discussion about what all this means. What are the benefits of justification? How does it change your experience of life in this world? What does it mean to be a Christian, in other words? We follow a Lord who was killed, crucified. Our God became one of us, not to conquer us, which was, of course, possible, but to suffer and die for us. When we absolutely didn't deserve it, we were made God's children and heirs. So, what does it mean to live in this world with that faith? Let's take those questions one at a time, shall we? Well, what's it like to live in this world at all these days? Please don't burst into tears. It is beautiful, right? There are wonderful moments. I think of those wee small hours of the morning when my not-so-sneaky but thinks he's super sneaky 5-year-old climbs into bed and cuddles up next to me. That's bliss. That's a glimpse of the kingdom of God, right? But in general, if we're being honest, life is stressful. Someone wrote recently that they were really looking forward to living in precedented times. A precedented week might be nice at this point. And life now is also, as it ever was, beset with specific personal challenges. Sickness and death. Heartbreak and loneliness. Uncertainty of all kinds. All sorts of things happen to us, which remind us that we are not ultimately in perfect control. We cannot, for example, will the cancer out of our bodies. We cannot make that one person respect us or love us. We cannot hit some light switch in our brains and simply shut off the anxiety keeping us up at night. And when we hit those limits, the limit of our power, when we realize that what we are experiencing is beyond our control, one word for that is suffering. Even the good things in our life frequently remind us that they are outside our control and must be more or less endured. And that is a direct quote from my wife, who suffers me gladly, I like to think. And so we suffer, sweetly sometimes, or bitterly, acutely or generally. In fact, it's not exactly wrong to say that life is, in many ways, suffering. Woof. So, what does all this mean? What does suffering tell us about reality? Are we forsaken? Is God unloving or absent or impotent? Have we lost God's favor? Is that why we suffer? All those theories make a certain kind of logical sense. And indeed, a great many Christians, including me at times, and I'm guessing many of you, from Paul's time to our own, have lived under that fear. So that brings us to our second question, or rather the fuller question. What does it mean to live in this world with our faith? Faith, again, in a crucified God who worked through death, in the midst of death, to give us life. What does it mean to be justified by a God like that and yet still suffer? Do you know one of the most remarkable things Jesus said? Put down your sword. He said this when the soldiers came to arrest him, and one of his disciples drew his sword and attacked them. Put down your sword. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, came into this world and willingly endured suffering. He could have incited his followers to violence in his own defense. They were glad to do it. Instead, he commanded them to sheath their swords and told the guards to take him. Jesus could have asked the crowds, who sometimes were so thick that people couldn't even get to the doors of the house and had to be lowered through the roof, he could have asked them to sell their possessions and donate those proceeds to him so he could reside in a palace fit for the King of Kings. He could have done that. But he told all who would follow him to give what they had to the poor, to others. Faith in a God like this, Paul says, means you can boast in your sufferings too, even unto death. Why? Because that's the way the Messiah went. That's how the Messiah lived. You are not chasing perfect glory. You are not meant to be a conqueror. You are meant to be a Christian. Faith in a God like this means that you can be comforted, that suffering does not suggest God's absence, but reminds us of the depths into which God descended to make sure we would never again, under any circumstances, however dire they might seem, be separated from the love of God. To paraphrase Mary Hinkle Shore, a New Testament professor from Luther Seminary in days past, faith like this, in a God like this, means that we are free to rejoice always. Not because we are suffering, but even in the midst of suffering, in defiance of it. Because we know that suffering does not produce our joy, but it can certainly never rob us of it. So you know what that means in simple terms? In one word, hope. It means, even in the midst of terrible suffering, and this world can dish it out, can't it? Even in the very jaws of defeat, even at the point of death, our faith in Jesus, in a crucified and risen Savior, means we have a hope that endures, a hope that does not disappoint. It can be terribly difficult to maintain hope at times. Perhaps some of you are feeling that these days, every day. Whether it's a civil war, or a world war, or a culture war, it often feels like we live alongside so many on this blue-green marble who wish to destroy us, who hate and fear their neighbor instead of love and serve them as we're commanded. Well, guess what? And this is crazy to say. That's okay. Boast of that. That's the way the Messiah went too. God was with him in the garden when his enemies arrested him. God was with him on the cross, even in the tomb. And God is with you always. Hope never disappoints. Amen.